Have you guys heard my news? I have a new sex gig. I'm not a porn star. It's better. I just launched my new premium skincare brand called Emily and Tony. These products are tried and true to help spice up your sex life, which is what I'm all about. I'm talking about massage oil candles that are one part candle, one part body oil, and check out these flavors. They come in delicious scents like creme de vanilla, cocoa, and fougere. And they're hydrating, and they leave your skin feeling super luxurious. We even have a product for the guys called Down Under Comfort that helps keep their balls smelling fresh and clean and dry all day, which is exactly what you want, right? So guys, if you take care of your balls, your partner will take care of you. So help us keep this podcast free. Use code EMILY to get 20% off your first purchase at emilyandtony.com. Trust me, you'll love them, and you're welcome.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com, where you can listen to all of our podcasts, check out our videos, and the first thing that you should do is sign up for our mailing list. Because when you sign up for our mailing list, you do get a free report. Five biggest mistakes men are making in bed, five biggest mistakes women are making in bed. But not only that, I will be sending you that free report, but you'll get emails from me, and they're not spam and they're not annoying, I promise, because you guys know you can trust me. But it's useful information. Maybe it's the podcast you missed. Maybe it's some special discounts and all those toys and products you wanted to buy. Or maybe I'll just make you laugh your ass off. Whatever it is, just sign up, and I won't bother you too much, and we don't sell our list or anything like that. And also follow me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, Sex with Emily. And, of course, as always, I love hearing from you. I read every single one of your emails that you send to feedback at sexwithemily.com. I know I might sound a little sexier tonight. I actually lost my voice. As you all know, I was at the AVN Awards last week, the AVN Festival in Las Vegas. I gave the keynote speech, which I pulled off barely. I was up till 4 a.m. That's just me, last-minute person, but it was awesome. Eventually, I'm going to post it on my website, which it was a really long video. You're not going to want to sit through an hour, but I'll just pull out the best parts, I promise. And it was a crazy show. It was so fun, and my guest here tonight can actually talk more about it because she's been there, like, several times, I'm sure. What else do I have to tell you? Just, yeah, subscribe to the podcast, check it out, and yeah, just email me with all your questions. My guest tonight is Mia Isabella.
Hi.
Hi, it's so nice to meet you.
You as well.
I'm so glad that's worked out. So Mia Isabella, she's a transsexual porn star known as the cutest little TS chick with the biggest candy stick. Hey, it's on your website.
It is, yeah.
Okay, is your candy stick really 10 inches?
It is.
That's amazing. Okay, we're going to get into that as well. And you're also exciting that do you live in the area?
I live in the hills, yeah.
Okay, right. So, and you're nominated for a big award.
I am.
I mean, so I've been to 3 sex conferences this month, which sounds pretty exciting. A lot of people, they think I'm like boning the whole time. It's work. I was at the ANMI show and then AVN, which just, you know, crazy in Las Vegas, and now we've got the X Biz, and you're nominated for award tomorrow night,
yeah,
which is exciting for the
best transsexual website, yeah.
Okay, so
I actually love X Biz; they've been so good to me. I've actually won 3 awards in the past 2 years consecutively. So it's been
really? Yeah, congratulations. What were the other awards?
I won Best Performer of the Year, and then I won Best Adult Novelty Line for my toy line with Pipe Dreams that I had launched.
Oh, great! I love Pipe Dream.
Yeah,
so. Got to talk about toys and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So your website is Mia-Isabella.com, and also this is all on sexwithemily.com. So it says that this is about your bio. Your changes, you look like a chameleon from a blonde bob wig to long black hair and a bondage outfit. You were also the first transsexual to do a voiceover on a video game.
I am, yeah. Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh my God, do they give you residuals for that?
I wish.
I know, right? I've been talented too. They're like, here's $500. So we're going to make a lot of money off you. pisses me off.
But you know what? The opportunity was incredible. Exactly. It was the first of, you know, of its kind, and it's kind of opening up doors for
absolutely
other girls in my genre to know that they can do more than just porn.
So. Exactly. I think that's great. So I have so many questions for you, because I think transsexuals, I think it's people are confounded by it. Like, they just don't really understand. They're like, you know, because you date men.
Of course.
Primarily. And so you, could you just tell me about your beginning and how you first realized that you felt more woman than man, and how it all happened?
Well, as in the case of most transgendered females that I've, you know, come across, usually we all know very early on around the beginning of childhood development. Mine was when I realized the difference between the social behavior with girls and boys at 4 years old. The girls got to wear pretty clothes and, you know, play with dolls, which is what I wanted to do. And the boys were outside playing in the dirt and getting gross and wearing ugly clothes, and I just didn't want nothing to do with it.
Right. And how are your parents? How they react to it?
Well, you know, really.
Like, here's a truck.
Well, no. It was more fear, because we were from a very affluent family in the South, and they wanted to protect me. And so it was more like they wanted to figure out what was going on and understand it. So, I mean, that made it very lucky for my upbringing, because they became very much protective of me.
I love that, because you wanted to learn. Many stories. They did.
They wanted to learn.
So they supported you. So then how was it growing up then, before you – so you've had the operation.
I haven't.
Plastic surgeries and stuff like that. But before that, like growing up, like high school, middle school, like what
– I was very androgynous. You know, the people that I grew up with, they obviously knew. But people that weren't from our circle – they never knew. I was just another girl. I had long, blonde, curly hair, and I was always hanging out with the girls. You know, it was before they all developed. So, you know, we were all just girlfriends, as far as anybody else was concerned.
So they didn't even know?
People that were outside of our circle, no.
Okay.
I mean, and in our circle, you know, again, we come from a very, you know, well-known family. So, I mean, I was very popular. I was a violinist and in gymnastics and swimming and things like that. So, I mean, I had a lot of friends and I had a great upbringing. So
okay. That's good. I'm so glad to hear that. Even my parents are like, really? What are you doing for a living? No, they're fine. They're supportive now. They're like, as long as you're paying your bills, we're okay. But my mom for a long time was like, what's your plan B? You're going to talk about sex for a living? Really? So what about your like first sexual experience? What was that like?
It was awful.
Really?
It was awful. Tell me. Oh, gosh. I was dating a much older guy, and we had been, you know, communicating and talking, and I was 17, and he was 32, was an attorney in Chicago, and we had a long, you know, year of dating, and, you know, he obviously had to wait until I was adult enough.
Right.
And I don't know, I just expected more of the romance and, you know, the pleasure and him teaching me in a very, you know, sexualized and, you know, selfless
right.
way, and it was just kind of like... He had been waiting for so long. It was just all about him. And
right.
he didn't really take the time to teach me things. And it was just, it didn't feel like I thought it was going to feel.
Right. It never does.
No,
it's
I know.
I just want to tell people, because, you know, I host Loveline here in the studio after which you were calling him. Like, it's okay. The first experience. But for you, so tell me about so you take hormones. You had
breast. I just started hormone therapy about a year ago.
Oh, okay. So up until this point, you haven't.
No, my family, and I used to date an attorney, endocrinologist and doctor from UCLA, and you know they were so underdeveloped the technology and the medicine for a lot of hormone therapy, and you know he wanted to really know, you know, how it worked and what was going on before I started using them. So we found a great endocrinologist in Los Angeles. So I finally trusted someone to start them.
Okay, great. So then now, okay, so you still have a penis though.
I do.
Yes, that's your big, on your website, 10 inches. We already discussed that, which is friggin' amazing. So do you find, so the kind of men that you date, so explain to me about your sexual experiences then. So, but they're straight men.
Yes, of course.
Okay. So how do you do, tell me about how they interact with your penis.
I have, I've been in three relationships. The first,
committed,
I told you.
Like you're monogamous.
Yeah. Okay. And that was my entire adult life. The first relationship until I was 18. And then when I was 20, I was actually married. And I was with him for about 4 years. And my ex-fiance, I was with him for about 3 years. So all my adult life, I've been, you know, mainly with these three gentlemen.
Okay.
And they had never been with a transsexual girl before. They just fell in love with my personality and me.
And do they know right when they meet you, or does it come up later?
Well, no. I mean, they obviously knew. Like, my ex had found out all about, my ex-husband found out all about my beginning of my career at that point.
Right, because your career pretty, how old were you when
19,
you started?
19. I just started,
So then can you explain it? Can you break it down to people who don't, because people I always get questions. They're like, I don't understand it. Like, how are these men not gay? Like, how does it work?
Okay,
technically,
gay guys
let's just break it down.
Okay, guys like masculinity. You know, they want you know, muscular, hot, hairy, you know, jock type of guy. That's the fantasy. Straight men love femininity, curves, you know, breasts, beautiful, you know, ass, and right. you know, soft
You're a
skin.
Beautiful woman.
And, thank you.
We have a little video up on the website. You can check this out too.
But you know, we transsexual women are generally over sexualized, so we appeal to the natural instinct in men,
right? Because you're
for
so
sexuality and breeding, like right. we have, you know, larger hips and bigger butts and, you know, bigger breasts, and we're overly feminine. So there, I mean, obviously, any straight man is going to be attracted to that,
right.
by their visual, you know, senses,
exactly.
Now, whether they eventually feel comfortable enough to, you know, delve into that world in the front, they generally, you know.
So tell me, but I want to hear about that, those experiences. Like when you say you had sex with them, like how did your penis come into play, their penis?
With my ex-husband, it took quite a while before he, you know, decided to, he wanted to please me that way. Like he felt like he was being selfish after a long period of time. And I was like, well, I don't need that. You know,
right.
it's like I get pleasure from being the submissive and being.
So you are more submissive.
You know, filming, I'm actually right. always a dominant aggressor in the sex. But in real life, I'm actually quite submissive. And require a dominant partner.
Right.
But
if they're not playing with your penis, then how do you do orgasms?
Of course. You could have, you know, anal orgasms
anal,
through the
so
prostate.
It's mostly through, of course. Yeah. So it's mostly like anally. How about breasts?
Oh, of course. I love breast play. I love
do you breast orgasms,
stuff.
Though?
I don't know if
I want one.
Breast orgasm. But
I want one so bad. Like the second most common kind of orgasm. I'm like, really?
Really?
Like, who's having them? I want one. I'm like, I think I just need to spend some time like, with somebody just like, play with my breast for like a month. And like, let's get down to this. So it's usually anally. Mm-hmm. That. Like, right. A lot of women.
I enjoy that. I enjoy that actually a lot more because I can have multiple orgasms that way versus, you know, ejaculating through a penis. And once you do that, it's kind of like, oh, I'm going to sleep now.
Exactly. Right. We're so lucky. I mean, so tell me about how is your sex different than you think than other women? I mean, obviously you have anal sex primarily, mm-hmm. but how else would you describe that you think that it's different?
I don't know if it really be considered different beyond, you know, the penis play. I mean, I'm every bit of a woman sexually in bed. You know, I'm very into the seduction and, you know, I top from the bottom, as they call it, where even though, you know, he's the man and he's, you know, taking me, I'm the one that's in charge and, you know, handling the situation. And then, of course, I love being ravished and just taken wildly.
Don't we all?
Right?
Why don't they know this, so many men, right?
Just grab my hair, choke me, bend me over,
exactly.
and just take it.
Like. Choke me, grab my hair, bend me over. I mean, and I'm not saying this is a green light for everyone, but
right.
typically many women I talk to want that. And I think men, I don't know, I was in San Francisco for 20 years.
Afraid.
I just moved here. I think they're afraid. Everyone's like, oh, every man in San Francisco checked his balls at the Golden Gate Bridge. Because seriously, they're like so passive. A lot of them are just like, I want to be very PC about it. And it's like, no, just pull her hair. It's okay. She can still be a feminist and you can still dominate. Not that it's for every woman, but many women do.
I love it.
I know. So right now, are you dating anyone? Are you?
I have been dating a few different gentlemen recently.
Okay.
But nothing, you know, committed or serious yet. So.
Okay.
Taking my time out. I mean,
I'm
I was.
Sure you meet so many.
I have a beautiful team of men.
Oh my God! Yeah, me too. Yeah. That's how I like it.
Yeah,
no,
I mean, I'm learning. You know, I've always been in committed relationships, so this is like my first time being completely free and just really getting the chance to know the people much better before just jumping
into a relationship. So smart because you're in your 20s, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's
and my whole adult life, I've been a wife or a fiance. So
it's good to do that.
I've
I
never
always
done
tell
that
people
before.
That. I'm like, you know, and I did that too. I was a serial monogamous all through my 20s, and I kind of regret it because I think, first of all, no one should get married before they're 30. Mm-hmm. I think that you should take the time, figure out who you are, what you like. We all jump into relationships. I think that that's what we're like told, socialized to do.
Yeah.
But it's a really good time to like, I always hear people, they're like, I'm in love. Oh my God, my heart is so broken. How am I ever recover? We've been together 3.5 years. I'm 18. I'm like, you're 18. You're young.
I mean, it's still hard though.
It is hard.
When you become attached to
someone.
Totally.
You become attached a lot of times to your first love. So I think it's you're dating now and having fun.
Yeah.
So how did you get into the porn industry?
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I was working a corporate job at Verizon Wireless Corporation.
Oh, you were? Okay.
I was going to nursing school. I mean, I was really going with like a straight edge life plan. And I ended up meeting a bunch of transsexual girlfriends for the first time. I had never met any other girls myself until I was 18.
Okay.
And I ended up meeting this group of girls and they were living the fun life and they were dating all these boys and they were traveling and, you know, all these things. And they kind of introduced me to it and I'm very research oriented. So I started looking up the market and, you know, where the money comes in to play and what kind of people are involved or interested in girls like me. So I really started doing some research and I ended up putting a profile up on an adult dating site. And I was the most looked at girl out of like 10 around the world.
Oh my
and
God.
And so I wanted to know.
Which website can you say?
I'm not going to say. But I don't want to promote them unless they
got
me
it.
A
no,
check.
I got it. Totally. I'm so down with that.
And the number one girl, so I'm like, well, I want to know why you're number one. You
right.
know,
yeah,
teach me some stuff. What's up with you?
Right.
And she was a porn star. And so I ended up messaging her. And, you know, asked for some advice and things like that. And she got back to me and gave me her number. And I called her, of course, naturally. And she just hung up on me. And so I wrote her an email. I was like, you know what? I'm only 18 years old. At the time, I was only 18.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure you're coming to the end of your life cycle in this industry.
Right.
So it's okay that you hung up on me because I'm going to be number one.
Exactly.
And you're not going to exist after a while.
Right.
So, you know, and then I got a call or email back and it was from her manager, her pimp, her manager
right.
saying, I'm sorry. You've been talking to me the whole time. She wasn't prepared for your phone call. I'm so sorry. I should have told you.
Okay.
And they invited me out to Los Angeles. And they made a bunch of appointments with different studios for me
well,
to meet
great.
People. And I kind of networked and then I came back a week later and shot my first films.
Wow.
And I was
okay.
19 at that time.
Oh, my God. And how was that for you, the first film? What was it like? What
oh
was the
God.
First film?
I was so freaked out.
I'm sure.
I was at this giant mansion in Hollywood. And, you know, I go there. There's like a full production team and hair and makeup and, you know, other models there. And I'm just like, what did I get myself into? Because I thought I was just shooting pictorial
oh,
for,
okay.
for the
Oops,
project.
They didn't know it was video.
No, they didn't tell me that I was, they were like, no, you don't have to do video if you don't want to. We're going to use you for pictorials and stuff like that and kind of announce that you're up and coming. And they met me in person. They're like, oh my God, you have to star in this film. We're going to give you X, Y, Z amount of money. We're offering you two scenes. You know, you're going to be the star of this film.
Okay.
And, you know, it was a lot of money. So I took it and I was like, fine, I'll do it. And I wasn't prepared to shoot,
right.
you know, a movie, but I just got ready and I just went out there and there was like the makeup artist and the camera guy and the assistant and
yeah,
like the model and the production, you know, the people. And I was just like, okay. But as soon as the camera came on and the lights were on, my head just clicked to lights, camera,
You're
action
natural.
And became a different character. Like I just went into it and just
and then
did
who,
it.
Who were you having sex with? Explain to me like that first sex scene you did. In the
oh
film.
God. Well he ended up, you know, he was this beautiful, you know, big, you know, very generously endowed blonde guy. And then they're like, okay, he's going to be the bottom. And I was like, what? It makes sense to me.
Right.
In my mind, because, you know, in my mind, I'm this little tiny,
right.
you know, girl. Like, why would I be
right.
the top?
Exactly.
But then I ended up topping him, and it wasn't my thing at all. But I ended up getting typecast, of course, in anything you do in entertainment
right.
as this dominant top because of my first
but
scene
were
being
your
a
penises
top.
In play or was it all
yeah,
in
Yeah, I topped him. You
okay,
know,
right.
You know.
So you, we, okay, you had anal sex with him.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, I was the aggressor
right.
in
but
the
you
situation.
Just were not, like,
I was like, this is weird because I never,
right.
I had never done that with a
right.
guy before.
Right, and it was the first time I was on film.
Yeah, I had
oh
never done that with
God,
a guy before.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
So
I'm stressed
I was,
for
you. I was just like, what is going on here? Why am I, you know.
Right, they just missed
topping
know.
Him. Like,
right.
They're, this is weird, but okay, I'll do it.
Right, and then you did it. And then you got to get, then after that, you...
It became just a natural thing.
Right.
Every film I did.
Right. So,
became,
so in all your films, that is what you
most of them, I was always just a top until
okay.
I was with my ex-partner who's also a porn star. And then I was a bottom for him.
Okay.
Because it was
and
natural for us. To
got it. And did you learn to enjoy it? Do you enjoy it or just work?
Topping?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there's some kind of enjoyment regardless if it's a physical
right,
sexual
right.
act.
So release, right.
Like you'll get some kind of enjoyment from it, but it's not my natural place.
Right.
In my
okay,
mind.
So in your relationships,
so
you're like,
I've
always
been,
the bottom.
I've always been the bottom in the relationship. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. So what about, what were some of the challenges that you faced in being true to yourself and your gender identity? Like just like growing up and in the film industry and everything, like what you do, what are like the biggest challenges you think? Do you think people are like misinformation? Do you get treated differently?
You know, I have been very lucky. I mean, I'm very well spoken, I think. And
you are?
I'm and a businesswoman.
Yeah.
Thank
Smart.
You.
So hard to be both.
So, I mean, being able to come
Talent
into any
business.
Situation. I mean, I've done, when I did an interview with Sway from Sway in the Morning, he just interviewed Barack Obama. And then here I come onto this, you know, the studio. And I made him so nervous. And I got a chance to kind of educate the hip-hop community where, you know, they would have normally been, like, really freaked out by
right,
it.
Right,
but the funny part was they didn't tell the team that I was a transsexual because they wanted them to see how the men would react to me. And they were always all over me and,
right.
you know, just so sexually talking and how beautiful she is and I would do anything for her. And then later on in the show, they told
no
them
way.
That I was a TS. And it was a way to show people that, like, you can use the idea of stigma just by the idea of it to have, you know,
exactly.
Hate for it or whatever. But this group
I
of
love that.
This group of like rappers and, you know,
yeah,
black
like,
community
hey,
guys
hey,
are
hey.
Just like all about it. And then, you know, I got the chance to kind of educate and talk and just, you know, open up their minds. So I've been really lucky that I get to do so many incredible shows and media that I've been able to kind of just walk in and kind of throw away some of the
stigmas.
Yeah.
So I'm curious though. So you must get hit on by like men, like wherever you go, like you probably can't even leave your house.
I'm very shy.
Right. In you're public. Shy. But what happens when a guy that you're interested in, like how soon do you bring up the fact that you
are? Oh, immediately. Because I'm not going to waste my time.
So you're like, hey, like in 5 minutes? You know, like, what if you're trying, like,
I usually never give any guy my number if they meet me out in public and try to, you know, ask my number or hit on me. I'm just kind of like, believe me, honey, I'm not your kind of girl. And then there's beautiful girls over there. Go away. And that usually makes them want me more.
Of course. So they end whenever up following they reject me, a guy, they're like all over
they
yourself.
End up following me all over the place. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm a transsexual girl, so just get on my face, please.
And then
they're like, well, that's interesting. I never would have thought that. And they want to sit down with me, and then we end up changing numbers, and then they end up, you know, following my personality, and then...
Most of the time.
I've never had a guy reach out.
Wow, that's amazing. They come around to it.
Of course.
But when you're getting down them with these guys, and they're straight, and they've never, like, been with... Like, a lot of guys are freaked out. Like, there's always, like, this, like, one... I was like, I think it was George Carlin, you know, this, like, the comedian, you know, days like, he has, like, one dick theory. He's like, men don't want another penis in the room. Like, even in porn, they don't want... So how do they deal with it? They've never...
I mean, I'm obviously, you know, conscious of the idea that I want to really express my femininity more
right. When
I'm with a guy who's never been with someone like myself. So it's not like I'm, you know, sitting there holding myself in all my glory.
Right.
You know, I'm very submissive. I probably hide it more than I, you know, I'm not getting pleasure from that. There's not, I want to, like, get them comfortable.
Exactly.
And get them to really just enjoy
and
me as a woman.
Amazing.
And as time goes on, you know, they usually get very curious and comfortable enough that they feel like, well, you're my woman or you're my girl, so I want to be able to please you.
Right.
And, you know, even though I would never do this with anybody else, I'd like to do something to please you. So, I mean, okay. I just kind of let them get used to it at their own pace.
Right.
You know?
I think that's great that you've had. So yeah. It sounds like you've had really positive experiences. Like,
yeah.
You haven't really had any, like, horrible, like, that your family's supportive and all that stuff. And you've had a really successful
really
career.
Like
you're just, like, rising, you know. That's great. what would be some advice then? Like, sex, so you're a porn star. You also have had a lot of you've had sexual experiences with men. You're a seductress. Like, what would be your, like, top, some of your sex tips for women? I'm always asking, like, what is your best, like, blowjob tips? What's your best, whatever? Like, what are the secrets that you've learned that, like, if you had to pick, like, your top tips for pleasing men? Like, what do you think? What can we all learn from you?
Oh, gosh.
And we can talk about this.
This is
like,
kind
like,
of
good. Like,
this might be so weird, but, like, I don't deep throat. So I don't have the talent for it. And plus, I mean, I've obviously been deep-throated many times.
Right.
I don't think it feels that great.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, I'm sure it looks fantastic, but I don't think it's, like, that pleasurable. So I do a thing my girlfriend's called the slip and slide.
Oh,
this
tell
is my
me the
technique.
Slip and slide. I love
so
it.
So it's like, you know, you're working the head and the shaft as you're, you know, sucking it. So you're giving
right.
them double sensitivity while you're, you know, playing with it. That drives me
right because you know right
yeah and I watch their toes, I watch their feet to see how close they're getting or how much pleasure they're getting from it, and if they're getting ready to orgasm. By the way, they crunch their toes up
right.
or, you know, tense their legs up. I always watch that.
Right, that's a really good tip. Right.
And guys,
I mean,
like you to be
just more focused. I'm like, oh, I'm not, it's hard to look at all the things.
And guys really like women to take charge. So, like, if you
they
want
do.
Something and you want him to do something, tell him or
exactly.
just do it. Make him do it.
Exactly.
And he'll love it. They love
well,
they love to be
it's
taken.
It's so true that so many men complain that women, like, I think one of the biggest complaints I hear from men is that women don't take the initiative enough in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. They're like, I'm always doing it and I get it. They want to be dominated, but sometimes can you please just, like, take the initiative, do something different.
Sit
and tell me
face.
What the hell you want. Just sit out of goddamn
just grab
face.
Him and sit on his face.
Seriously, like, what guy is going to kick you off his face? If he says he's not the right person for
absolutely
you.
Absolutely not.
Right? So, what is your favorite sex position then?
Oh gosh. Huh. I really have a thing for, like, being dominated to the point of rape. Like, I have a thing for that.
Okay,
I like,
so do you play, like, role playing?
I just like them to just be selfish and just take it. So usually I think that kind of ends with me with my face down, ass up in the air.
I like it. So how do you explain, it's like the rape fantasy is like the number one top fantasy
okay.
for women. And I think that men are really, like, sort of confused by it because they're like, well, I don't want to treat them in this way. So, like, I always look into that, like, what it is about. I know, right? Just being, like, dominated and taken and just being
it's so primal.
That's the thing. It is the most primal thing. It's not like they call it rape, which I hate.
Right.
It's more like just being super dominated
right.
and just, like, doing, you know, what you know, what feels good, and communicating. Like, I think, especially in your thing, I always say communication is a lubrication. And so I feel like, right, you got
to,
like,
you have to talk about what you want and what they want so that you please each other.
Exactly. And like anyone in a relationship right now, and this happens all the time, people are like, oh, I've been with my partner, like, I get emails 5, 10, 15 years. And I'm like, okay, well, what is your partner? Like, what's her biggest fantasy? What's his? But we've never talked about it. We just don't.
That's so weird.
I know, it's to us, it's weird, but it's like so normal. Like, I think also people are together for a while and they don't even understand how to broach the subject.
Okay.
And so I just say it's like better, like, sooner than later, just like talk about, you know, what you need. And
I think the sexuality is probably the best part of being in a committed relationship, because you get to explore, you know, your fantasies with trust.
Exactly.
You know, that's the biggest thing.
And if you're not having good sex, then, like, what's the point in life? I know. I just spoke on a panel, Expos, yesterday, and I was just like, hello, we're all, like, it was a sex education panel. It was about retail stores and also how they can be better at sex education. I was like, hello, like, we're all working in sex. There's people have so many problems with sex. Like, why can't we all, you know, why can't there be more sex information out there? Because I don't think that there's a lot of great sex information. Actually, I was going to talk to you about sex toys. I know you have your own sex toy line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I was going to, about your, like, what's your favorite sex toy? Okay. Besides what you talk about your own line, but then also what your experience has been with sex toys in the bedroom and what you like.
I actually never really used toys. I actually was forbidden from using toys on myself, in my previous relationship, only as long as I was on camera, like doing like live cam shows like that. Right. And he was home. I could use them, but when he was never around, I was not allowed to use
toys. He told you weren't allowed?
Absolutely.
And were you okay with that, that he was okay?
He was very dominant, so I listened to
him. But you
like
that? Okay,
I did. So I like
it.
But in his way, it was a bit of insecurity, because he wanted to know that no one had been in there. And, like, right. No one had touched his,
right,
you know, property or his,
exactly,
his, you know, thing.
So what about in film stuff? Because do you like anal toys?
My favorite thing from my line itself is the lube, because, I mean, obviously being in porn, I've used tons of different lubes. The thing that that's the only thing I really like out of my whole line. I mean, they have grandiose toys, like really intricate things.
Right.
My favorite product ended up being the lube.
Right.
Because water-based lubes usually end up getting sticky.
Right.
And oil-based lubes, I feel like you kind of lose that grip and that traction when you're having,
right,
sex, if you use an oil-based lube. So you kind of lose the power and, you know,
right,
the control with your sexual organ using an oil-based lube. So they made a water-based lube, or like gel-like product,
right,
that never dried out and got sticky and wasn't oil-based. So it was incredible,
wow,
for masturbation.
That's
and
amazing.
For anal sex.
I love,
like,
it.
This is like the best
How do
thing.
People find it?
Just me, Isabella's Big Secret Collection.
Okay, it's all
Pet Dreams.
Okay,
yeah, you
good.
Can just find it on there.
Well, we were on the panel yesterday. One of my sponsors is Good Vibes. Everyone hears me talk about sexwithemily.com/goodvibes. If you want to check them out, use coupon code Emily. You get 15% off. But yeah, you make sure you go to sexwithemily.com/goodvibes. They have great selection of toys. They have amazing, you know, everything that I love. Like, I've been talking about the Jeju Mimi. They have these cock rings that are amazing. The Jeju Mio. I don't know if you know Jeju, the brand. They make really fun toys. And it's funny because I've been talking on the show and, like, their sales have just skyrocketed, because I just love, for a lot of women who need clitoral stimulation during sex, I love, like, the Mimi, but then also they have this really cool cock ring that, like,
that vibrates,
the Mio, that vibrates too.
I do like those.
You do?
I think,
okay,
they do feel great.
I
got a bunch of them, like, from Screaming O1, because I did a party
for
their vice
president. I used to Screaming
O1. And he used to send me, like, they gave me, like, a big, giant bag of them. So me and my ex used to actually use them.
Aren't they
and
great?
And it feels great.
I know. Like, and people always think that the vibration is only for women, mm-hmm, that men don't, but men, it feels,
no, it
really
feels good,
right?
They
got your penis, and your balls, everything. So go buy a cock ring today, do whatever, and go to sexlearning.com/goodvibes. Coupon code Emily. Do that now and check out your lube too. And so, what is going on? Like, what's your next, are you working on a film right now?
I actually retired from filming about a year ago.
Oh, you did? So now what's it all about?
Nobody actually knew that I was retired from filming for other companies for the whole year, because I'd done so much media. My publicist always keeps me busy. I was doing, you know, parties,
amazing,
and hosting award shows and stuff like that. So nobody actually knew that I would stop filming DVDs. But like probably like a couple of months ago, we did some really great mini series for my website, and it was my hardcore kind of comeback after like a year
for
my site. So yeah, I keep my site active, but I stopped filming for other companies.
Good, just take all the money yourself.
Right? Why would I keep making?
No, right.
And 10 years later, they're still making money off DVDs.
I know. They paid you like $5.
I was like, it's like, come on.
Right. We had, you're a businesswoman too, so you know.
Of course, yeah.
So can you describe to me one of your best sexual experiences that you've ever had, and like, why was it so great? I know that's hard. Maybe.
This
For
was
me it would be,
this is the beginning of the relationship with one of my previous partners. And we were still letting each other's bodies. And I remember he was just kind of like, really, like he would always just be in heat for me. It didn't matter like what was going on. He just wanted to take me wherever it was. Like I would even, sometimes it'd be so much sex that I would like run from him and try to like lock my bedroom door. He'd be sitting there with a screwdriver laughing.
Oh my God.
Taking the thing off the thing, just saying, I'm going to get you. Just wait.
But you like that. That's and, like, oh, foreplay,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to get you. You ran from me. So now it's going to be worse. And I remember he came in the room and he like literally took off the thing off the hinges and he's laughing like, oh, you're dead meat now. And he had like, I was sitting in this chair like, please don't, you know, no. Right. And I was sitting in a certain position in a chair like this. And he kind of just hiked my leg up and went in and his cock kind of curved up. So it hit the prostate like perfectly. And as he was just taking me wildly, I orgasmed and ejaculated on my own, like not even touching myself. And he was just sitting there just so like in awe, like he was so powerful in his mind at that moment that he made me like come inside and out. And I was just a puddle of just shaking. And I was so shocked, like what just happened?
Oh my God, that's amazing. Because you're talking about the foreplay, the buildup, the anticipation, which is what's missing so much, I think, from people's sex lives. Like, especially people in long-term relationships, like, okay, we've got 5 minutes, we got to do it. It's like, that's why people aren't having great sex, because they're not, and I know it's hard, and I know
you can tease all day. You can send text messages.
I always say foreplay all day.
Look at each other with little looks.
Foreplay all day.
You can grab each other's butt as you're walking through. And
exactly.
Any little thing to let the person know you're interested.
I always say foreplay starts after your last orgasm. Like, keep it going all the time. So what are some of your good foreplay tips?
I love to tease. I just love, all throughout the day, like, it doesn't matter if we're just sitting there having lunch with friends, something like that. I'll be under the table stroking his leg and reaching up towards his thigh or, you know, just kind of taunting throughout the day. It doesn't matter what we're doing. We could be, you know, cooking a meal and I'll grab his ass as he's doing something and come up behind him and bite his neck and kiss him. Just little things all day long to have them always constantly revved up for you.
Exactly.
So when you're ready, they've been ready all day, so they're at your command.
And like you bring them to the brink.
Right.
And then they're totally, totally ready. I love that. That is a great one. So, okay, so what about, we gave some sex tips earlier. Like I asked you, what are some sex tips for women or for men? Like, what would you say are some good things that, what do you think that men don't really know about pleasing women that you think that they should know?
Again, it's just knowing that, as we talked about from the beginning, it's like knowing that women primarily love that dominating, like even if she's the matriarch and she's the head of the family in every other way,
even more so
knowing that, like sometimes you just want to submit completely and just taking control and taking that power. You know, it's thrilling, it's exciting, and men need to know that women need that.
Exactly.
We need to still feel, doesn't matter how, if you're an executive of a Fortune 500 company, you need to have that sexual submission and feeling like a complete woman.
Okay, have you ever been with a woman?
I have. Quite a few times. Yeah, did some films too.
So okay, good. So how is that for you?
It's just work for me.
It just works.
I don't have that natural instinct to want to take a woman. You know what I mean? I'm not sexually attracted. I love beauty. I love femininity. But I don't have that thing that clicks in your mind that just makes you just want to do it.
Right, I get it. So do you have any good oral sex tips though? Because you've had to do it. I'm sure
I've never done oral sex on a woman.
Oh, you never did oral sex. Okay, so you just like played with women. Because men are always like hankering for more oral sex. Like, what's your best oral sex tip?
Just get in there.
What about blowjob tips? Did you take?
Again, like, the slip and slide. I love that.
And then what about like balls? Like, do you feel like that with different, some men love them, some men don't?
I don't think like sucking them hard is the thing to do. I think it's really sensitive, like licking them, squeezing slightly, fondling them. I think men love that, especially during blowjobs, you know, right above, like, you know, you grab the cock and right underneath, behind the balls, you press on that and that kind of like stimulates too.
So, like the perineum,
the
taint or
I think like playing and cupping and just kind of fondling, then they love that.
But have you found that some men don't want their balls touched?
Well, if they're afraid you're going to hurt them,
Right. Oh, right. But I feel like some men are like, I'm just not into it. I'm always like, well,
I think it's because somebody doesn't hurt them.
I think they have like post traumatic ball disorder or
like
something.
Someone sucked them too hard and it hurts them. And
speaking of balls, I actually have another thing to say because I'm wondering to my listeners and you, how are your ball? Okay, so I have a new product line called Emily and Tony, emilyandtony.com. And I have to say, I made this, but it's called Down Under Comfort.
Okay.
So it's for men, but women can also use it too. And I'm wondering, like, how are your balls feeling right now? Are they super clean and dry? Does your partner complain or is not always willing to go downtown? If so, I've got the product for you. I'm going to give you some. You give it to your partner. I've just launched a product called Down Under Comfort. It's from EmilyandTony.com. So basically, like a lot of men use talcum powder because they want to stay fresh and dry, right? But talcum powder is actually carcinogenic. It's messy. It gets a lot of floor. It's a whole thing. So it's a cream to tapioca powder formula that is designed to keep men fresh and clean down under or wherever they need. And a lot of, and girls can use it too, like under their breasts or anywhere where you feel sweaty. It smells like amazing. It's like, it's like a citrus. It's like, you know, men and women can use it. And it's so funny because I gave it to a guy friend who teaches these boot camps in New York, like sweaty boot camps in the summer. And I gave him like sample this. Like, what do you think? And he's like, oh my God. He called me. He's like, after a day of like 10 hours of teaching, he's like, holy shit. I'm like, oh my God, my balls, they are fresh. Like, they still smell fresh. Like, I'm not sweating. It's like, it's amazing. So it's like a miracle. So there's a lot. And a lot of guys are like, oh, I'm fine down there. But really, you'll be more likely, more fine down there, and your partner will be more likely to go down there if you do stay fresh and dry. So use coupon code Emily. You get 20% off your first purchase. And you can check it out at EmilyandTony.com. And again, even if you think you're always fresh and dry, you're probably not. So check it out. And I've also have massage candles in the line. So I'm going to give you one of those. They're so...
Thank you.
Have you ever used a massage candle? They're like...
No, I haven't.
Do you like massage?
I love massage.
Right? Who doesn't?
Right?
I always say like massage. Just like the gateway to intimacy, like a lot of couples, again, who aren't really connecting. It's just great to touch your partner.
Very true.
Take sex off the table and start to massage. And these candles are, they're aromatherapy. Nice. And they're coconut oil and soybean oil. And they burn cooler than most candles. And they it's not waxy. And you pour it on your, like, it's warm. And it's like, this feels so delicious. And you can give your partner a massage. So I have a little,
thank you,
little treat for you that I'll try that out. I'm give you. Yeah, you got to try it out. Like, it's fun. And it just, I just let it in my house all day. Like, I just love it. And then I use it as a moisturizer in the morning, like, on my body.
I love coconut oil.
Right? You're going to love coconut oil is like the miracle thing.
It's great for lube. If you don't have any lube, exactly. You get organic coconut oil. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you can use this with lube. You can use it on your face. You can, I eat it, put it on my toast
skin,
in the morning.
Put it on your skin.
I love
it.
Your skin is so beautiful. Thank you. What's your beauty? What do you do?
I just try to eat well, I guess.
Yeah, are you healthy? Are you super happy?
I'm not like really crazy, like, you know, like a lot of people out here, but
right. Like,
I like, I just like really good food, you know, so maybe it has something to do with it. And I like to rest a lot.
Right? You get a lot of sleep, especially for tomorrow night, the Expos Awards. I'm going to be on the red carpet, sleep. So I'm going to be interviewing you. What are you going to wear?
I can't say it.
Oh, my God. Something surprise fab. Her. Something fabulous.
I used to be a stylist. I used to own a boutique in
oh,
Chicago.
Oh, you did? So you did? Maybe you could style me. I need some help for sure. Things. I've got all these things coming up. I love it. I totally need help. So what would you say are some challenges in going back to the adult industry? And what, like, so you're still in the adult industry because you have your own website.
Media-wise, yeah.
But what was, like, your challenges that you faced when you were doing it, when you were doing porn, would you say?
I really didn't have any challenges because I always had a separate life outside of it. Like, I'd go to L.A. and film once a month, and then I just went back home, and I was just a normal suburban girl. But I ended up having a stalker at one point, and that was extremely frightening to me because this person ended up stalking me for many years to the point where I had to get a restraining order against this person.
Oh my God, after they saw you in the movies?
Oh, my God.
In the film?
I ended up being a vice president of an electronics company and sold
always
me
the vice president
and sold me right
and so sold the me guys you least expect
and he sold
like
me like
stalkers.
A bunch of products and he had, you know, put like bugging stuff in these things.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
And he ended up going on like all these like escort sites and review sites and anywhere he could discredit me, he would say the most, you know, salacious, scandalous things. I mean, you can look at me and see I'm just a little normal girl.
Right.
I mean, he said some of the most awful things and he tried to really derail my career from the beginning, just making everybody think that I was just a psychopath. And
because he was obsessed.
He was obsessed and I wanted nothing to do with him. And I ended up having to go to court and sue this guy. And that ended up being like a
It was
going on for years, and I finally got like an emergency restraining order against this person. It lasted for a few years, and then he started his shit again.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Can we do something about him? Can we put him in jail now?
I think it's that time. Like, it's to the point now that that would be like the next thing that would. I mean, I have like legal documents, and he even went on a blog and said that he was going to write because I'm working on a book soon.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
What's it about?
Well, you'll just have to see. Come on. I'll talk about it. I'll talk about it.
Secretive.
I know. Lainey taught me that.
Lainey's amazing.
But yeah, we're working on finding the best team to put the book out with. But I had tweeted about the fact that I was going to be doing a book, and he went on some blog and said that he was like the expert on me, Isabella, who's going to launch this unofficial autobiography about me.
Oh my God!
So of course,
super obsessed with
Like I went on and I posted up the confidentiality agreement and the restraining order and all this stuff, like so people would know enough.
Right.
I'm not taking it anymore.
I mean,
people can know that I'm a victim of something crazy like that. That was
so
the biggest,
crazy,
the biggest
okay.
thing. Yeah.
That's okay. Well, I'm glad you've had like really positive experience. I have one more question. Well, I have a few more questions, but I've,
yeah.
One more thing is like, did you ever consider? Because you are so feminine, like getting the surgery, bottom surgery.
I would have had it done at 18 before I got into porn, for sure.
So you would have. So do you
I
still
had no desire for it. I had
right.
no.
So that's what I'm wondering. Yeah. So, because it's interesting, because you have breasts, but so if you weren't important, so now you think it's kind of like how you make your living. It's like,
well,
but you don't.
What ended up happening was I became very confident in my sexuality through porn. I was very raised traditionally. So, I mean, in my mind, I was meant to be completely woman and, you know, be a wife. And that was the gist of it. But being in porn, kind of people so glorified it and
right.
made such a big deal about it. And like, of course, I made a wonderful living off of being this unique kind of person that I am. But I would have done it at 18 as soon as I could have.
Okay. And now do you think you would?
Oh, definitely. I'll definitely be doing it.
You think you'll be doing it eventually?
For sure. I mean,
okay.
Yeah. It's something that I glorify. I mean, the porn world does, and it's a big deal for other people. But right. in my everyday life, it's not like I'm, you know, looking at myself like, oh, God, this is so great.
Right. Exactly. So
it's something I don't utilize in my life.
So it's a unique, like, you have your own thing. That's your thing. I got it. So you would just.
Definitely.
Got it. I got it. Okay. And so, okay, so I've got some emails from listeners I have to answer every show. I'm thinking you can help me with some sex advice here. Okay. So, dear Emily, there's a girl I've liked for a while. We dated for a little bit, never had sex. And then she tells me, I feel we've been moving too fast and we should just be friends for now. Okay, that's fine with me. So we go out to dinner the next week, go back to her place. One thing leads to another and we're about to have sex. When I said no, she got mad at me. Was I wrong for turning her down even though she's the one who wanted to take things slower? Thanks, Albert.
I think she was just trying to make him chase it.
Yeah.
And then once you saw that he was willing to come after and make the chase, then she was ready to say it. Because she probably had a bad experience where she felt like she trusted somebody and then she just gave herself. And then after it was kind of like, eh. So she probably wanted him to chase it. And once she saw that he could,
yeah,
that he would chase it.
She just shut him down.
And then
games.
She was going to give it to him. And then she was pissed like, wow, okay. So you just,
right.
It backfired on her.
Right, exactly. So exactly. So I think just men are like so confused by women. Like, what the hell does this mean?
Yes.
Like, she wanted it, and then she didn't want it. So I don't think, Albert, that you were wrong for turning her down. I mean, that's how you felt in the moment. You did the right thing. Maybe she'll come back. Yeah, you're being respectful. And if you weren't ready for it, nobody should ever have sex if you're not ready to have sex. I mean, there were times where I've been with someone and I thought, yeah, I'm totally into this person.
And then
at the last minute, I'm like, oh, I'm actually not. I'm totally turned off. Like, you know what happens sometimes? You're into someone and they're like, this happened to me recently. Well, okay, I can't say recently. I got to change the time. It was a while ago. I was dating someone and then all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I'm not into it at all. Like, it shut down.
Yep.
It's almost like, I don't know what happened. And it's like, we all have the right to say no. Like, no does not mean yes, whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, okay. So Emily, dear Emily, I downloaded your Kegel Camp app after listening to your podcast. I can't praise it enough. Long story short, I'll tell you about my app. After separation and divorce, it had been a while since I had sex. I'm in a new relationship now, and I feel like my performance and endurance are much better. I give all the credit to your Kegel Camp. Thanks, Tim. So I have an iPhone app called Kegel Camp. And you know Kegel exercises, right. Men and women. A lot of people think it's just for women. But
I kind of do it anally too. I always like sit and I just
so
myself.
Smart. Right. Yeah. People do it. They're like, oh, you can do it at a traffic light, but no one remembers. So it's actually an app. It pops up on your phone every day and it'll say like, time for Kegel Camp. And then it's 5 minutes a day as my voice walks you through it. And people like email me, actually more men than women. And they're like, I can stay harder longer. They're like, when I ejaculate, like it shoots across the room, like mm-hmm. I was 20 again. And like women are having stronger orgasms. So I love it. Because I just made the app and I'm like, we'll see what happens, you know, but people really like it. So,
nice.
Okay. So, hello, Emily, I have a question for you. I'm not one to brag, but I do have an amazing partner when it comes to sex, but I do have one problem. When he is giving me oral, he hits my clitoris with his tongue. That makes me crazy. But for some reason, I don't always come. And then he tells me just to do it. This has happened on other occasions, and I was wondering if it's possible to think about it too much so that I don't come. Knowing that I haven't before, and in my brain I concentrate too much on that, that it doesn't happen. It's not a problem of not feeling amazing, but I can't quite figure out the problem. I have no problem having multiple orgasms when having sex, and I do masturbate, and I can't always make myself come either, but I don't have a problem with vibrators just touching myself. Any advice or tips would be appreciated. Thank you. So she feels uncomfortable with her clitoris, but she can have orgasms other ways. I do think your brain is a larger sex organ, and a lot of times women have a hard time having orgasms. We get into our mind like, is it going to happen? I hope it happens. Is this going to happen this time? And then we stop ourselves.
Well, it sounds like he's pressuring her because he wants to feel like he's succeeding and pleasuring her. So he's like, just show me that I'm doing it.
Exactly.
And the pressure of him wanting to see the result of his work is probably making her turning her off.
It's pressuring her. And guys are like, just do it. I hate that. When like, come on, baby. Come on, baby. I'm like, you have no idea where I'm at right now. Like, really? Like, right, it's time for you to leave. Give me a glass of water because we're starting over. You're leaving my house. Because, yeah, when guys say that, you know, it just, I think it's confusing. But she has multiple orgasms. Lawrence, I think you're totally fine. And maybe just oral sex is not the way that you're going to orgasm. And I do think, again, for sex, one of the biggest tips I give people is just like, you have to take your mind out of it. I mean, you have to get into your body.
Yeah, just get
like, do you ever find sometimes that you are in your mind, like I'm thinking about my to-do list, the phone's ringing, whatever, and that you have to just, it's almost like meditation, like whatever you can, just start like, focus, well, honey, like what's your, to focus on your body.
If the person you're with can't take your mind off of everything else, then he's doing something wrong.
Exactly. But some people like me, even I've been with good people and I'm still in my mind. So yeah. I have to work at it. You're lucky.
See,
you just go there.
Once he's grabbing me and I know that we're into it and we're doing it, it's all about that moment. Like, I'm not thinking about anything else until probably after.
Right. So that's good. Because a lot of people do have like all this brain stuff and their minds, and I do that too. But I've had to learn, and I wasn't always easily orgasmic, but I found like when that happens, like you just have to like get back into your body and all that stuff. Okay, so Mia Isabella, you're amazing. Thank you so much for being on the show. Is there anything else that we need to know about you or that's coming up that people can check out your site or like fun things that you won't, that I know you won't talk about your book and stuff like that, which is fine, but you will come back on the show and talk about it.
We're going to be doing a book. I signed a television show deal about a year ago, so hopefully we'll start shooting that soon.
A television, like a mainstream?
A reality TV
about show. Your life.
Yeah. Well, but it's about a few different things. So it's going to be exciting.
Okay. I know it's hard to talk about it.
I know. And my team was just talking to me the other night about really getting me involved overseas with, you know, selling products, ad campaigns, being a spokesmodel for other, you know, mainstream commercialized things. So hopefully we'll get
that's
to work
great.
With some
I mean,
really
don't
great
you,
products.
Don't you think that this is what we talked about yesterday, that the sex industry is changing, that there are more mainstream people who are interested. Thank God. Like I was talking actually in my keynote, I was like, I only will work with products that I believe in. Like I was having such a hard time, my keynote at AVN. I was like, how do you make money in this industry? I'm not a porn star. Like it's funny because people kept coming up to me. They're like, are you nominated for something? You know, like,
right.
I'm not a porn star. I should have been a porn star. But I think that it is changing and that people are looking like to advertise and to have people like
especially overseas. And I think with the huge fan base that I have overseas and them not being a serviced market, I think my publicist and the, you know, people that we're going to work with, they're absolutely right. Like there's so many different kinds of products and different things that I can be involved with over
absolutely.
Different countries. I think that'd be a wonderful way to kind of broaden my career and, you know, the book and the TV show.
Everything. You've had so much
some
going
love
on.
Soon.
Congratulations. Okay. And some love. So, but you're having some, but you're ready to get back into the relationship.
I mean, I'm a kind of committed kind of girl. I think the best of my sexuality comes out when I have ultimate trust with someone.
Exactly.
So that's kind of where.
It is hard to kind of have the
yeah,
fun.
I don't give it myself completely unless I'm really, you know,
right,
knowing
in love
that I'm committed.
And committed. So
person.
You're kind of going in that direction now. Okay.
Yeah,
but I think, like I said, everyone have fun for a while and then see when you're
yeah,
so you're meant to commit.
Life is...
I learned that I wasn't. and then how about your social? So your Mia-Isabella.com, which you can get on the website.
Yes.
And what about Twitter, Facebook?
Twitter is the Mia Isabella, M-I-A Isabella. The Mia Isabella.
Because there's no other.
Right.
Like
Facebook the same, the Mia Isabella. And, you know, go to the website, check out my tweets and, you know, you get to know me a little bit.
Great. Well, thank you so much for sharing
with
us. Thank you. People
I'm
are
so
just
glad.
Like been very confused about things, and I just think you have cleared it all up.
Thank you.
Thanks everyone for listening to Sex with Emily. Find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Sex with Emily. And was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.
Do you want to last longer in bed? Promescent is the only FDA-approved treatment for premature ejaculation. 1 in 3 men suffer from premature ejaculation, but they don't have to. Go to promescent.com to get the desensitizing spray that will allow you to have the sex you deserve.